welcome to the 110th episode of the podcast F4. We're calling it that since it's easier to say than food and frightening film fanatics. Before we get started, our usual disclaimer, heavy spoilers ahead, turn back now if you haven't seen these movies. This episode will be going over my picks for the top 10 horror movies of 2023. But before that, a few stats. I was trying to figure out how many horror movies are released each year, and obviously it depends on who you ask and what they're counting, whether they're counting film releases, theatrical releases, film festivals, streaming, etc. So Quora says there are some 500 horror movies released each year, but my list typically have between 110 and 140 movies. I know Wikipedia had 137 the last time I looked. IMDb had 110. Rotten Tomatoes had a list with 91 names. Screen Rant had something with 86 names. I have ballpark 131, I think, on my list right now. So, sequels every year. Obviously, there are a number of sequels to existing franchises. In 2023, there were 9. They include Evil Dead Rise. This is the 5th movie, and of course there was also a TV series. Pet Sematary had a prequel called Pet Sematary Bloodlines. This is the 4th movie. Children of the Corn had a remake. And Children of the Corn is one of those franchises that has the most installments only to be beat out by Amityville Horror. So this is the 11th Children of the Corn movie. 10 too many in my view. Exorcist, this is the 7th movie, and this one is Exorcist Believer. Insidious, The Red Door, this is the 5th movie. The Nun 2, from the Conjuring Universe, the 6th movie. Saw, the 10th movie. Scream, the 6th movie. And Hell House LLC had Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor. This was considered a prequel and a sequel, and it's the 4th movie. International films have also had some great horror movies recently. So by country, we have Argentina, When Evil Lurks, Australia, Run Rabbit Run, Chile, El Conde or The Count, France, Final Cut, Japan, Godzilla Minus One, and Zom 100, Mexico, Husera, The Bone Woman, Philippines, Taiwan, and Singapore, In My Mother's Skin. Spain had Sister Death and Bird Box Barcelona. Sweden had The Conference. And the UK had The Haunting of the Queen Mary and Unwelcome. A number of the best directors in horror movies released movies last year. And they include Eli Roth, who had Thanksgiving. Ari Aster, who has Beau Is Afraid. Brandon Cronenberg, who had Infinity Pool. M. Night Shyamalan, who had Knock at the Cabin, and David Gordon Greer, who had The Exorcist Believer. In terms of studios, the biggest horror studios are A24, which had Talk to Me and Zone of Interest, Beau Is Afraid, and obviously they do other non-horror movies too, including Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was I really enjoyed, and also most recently Beef, which was released on Netflix and just won a lot of awards at the award show. The other big horror production company is Blumhouse, Jason Blum. They did Five Nights at Freddy's and Megan, The Exorcist Believer. And incidentally, there's going to be a Megan 2.0 at some point and another Exorcist movie called The Exorcist Deceiver. They also did Total Killer, and obviously in years past, they've done things like Sinister, Paranormal Activity, Insidious, etc. They also did some joint things with Atomic Monster, which is James Wan's company. He has done the Conjuring Universe, so they got together on Megan. He also did Nun 2, and they were previously known for Malignant, and I think they're going to release a new version of Salem's Lot, which I'm looking forward to. And lastly, Twisted Pictures brought us Saw 10. In terms of streaming services, Many of them have some really good original content these days. So Shudder, of course, is the best place for all things horror. They have a number of movies that you would not see anywhere else. So I really appreciate all the work that is put into Shudder programming. So this year they had Skinamarink, Influencer, Perpetrator, VHS 85, When Evil Lurks, and Birth and Rebirth. Hulu had No One Will Save You and Clock. Netflix has a much smaller horror catalog than the other streaming services, but they end up having a couple of really good standout horror movies every year. And in 2023, it was The Pale Blue Eye, which features a younger Edgar Allan Poe. They also had We Have a Ghost, Bird Box Barcelona, Zom 100, El Conde, Sister Death, and Locked In. Amazon, I'm not sure what if they had any original content horror movies. Let me know in the comments if they did, because I didn't see anything. They obviously released a number of good movies, but they weren't original content. And how many of these streaming services had my favorite movies from the top 10? I won't read you the list now, but I'll just give you the number. So Shudder had 2. Hulu had 4, surprisingly. Netflix had 1. Amazon had 2, and Peacock had 1. Let's talk about movies by subgenre. 2023 was considered the year of the possession movie. Possession movies typically aren't my favorite, but there were really some interesting entries last year. So a number of possession movies included The Exorcist, Evil Lurks Here, Evil Dead Rise, Attachment, The Pope's Exorcist, and Nefarious. Alien movies, always a couple of those. No One Will Save You is an example of that. Anthologies, we had VHS 85 and Satanic Hispanics. Creepy kids, we had Tin and Tina, Children of the Corn, Run Rabbit Run, and There's Something Wrong with the Children. Creature features, we had Godzilla Minus One, The Tank, Cocaine Bear, Meg 2, Slaughterhouse, Black Demon, Meth Gator, and Cocaine Shark. End of the World, we had Bird Box Barcelona. Experimental movies, we had Skinamarink, Innes Men, The Outwaters, and Beau is Afraid is, I don't think it's an experimental movie. It's not even a horror movie, really. I think it's marketed as a horror movie. It's interesting. I do like Joaquin Phoenix a lot, but it's 3 hours long. I'm not sure really what category you would put it in, but I don't think it's horror. So, found footage, VHS 85, Hell House, Carmichael Manor, and The Outwaters are examples of those. Dracula movies, obviously we always have a couple every year. This year we had Renfield, and The Voyage of the Demeter, which I always say wrong. We had 2 Frankenstein adaptations in 2023, and they were The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster and Birth and Rebirth. Hauntings, we had Haunting in Venice, Haunting of Queen Mary, Haunted Mansion, and Brooklyn 45. Killer Dolls, of course, we had Megan. Motherhood, we had Clock, Adeline, and Husera the Bone Woman. Pandemic Scares, we had Sick. Revenge, we had The Wrath of Becky and Saw. Slashers, horror is best known for its slasher movies. They never go away. We had Scream 6, Totally Killer, and Thanksgiving. And folk horror, we had Unwelcome, Husera the Bone Woman, Satanic Hispanics, and The Offering. Tech Twist, we had Influencer, Missing, and Talk to Me. Zombies, of course, there's always a couple of zombie movies, or a lot of zombie movies some year. And this year we had Zom 100 and Final Cut. Before I talk about my top 10, there are a couple of movies that aren't on my list that are typically on other people's or at the very top of their list, and they include Godzilla Minus One and Thanksgiving, and it's because I haven't seen those two movies yet, so I'm sure when I do, they will be at the top. Also not included, I already mentioned Beau is Afraid. Skinamarink is another one that is not at the top of my list. I tried watching it twice. I just couldn't get into it. I know some people love it. It's probably the most divisive movie of 2023. Maybe it'll grow on me at some point. That happens once in a while. But right now, it's not in my top 10. And that's the thing I like about horror, is it's very subjective. So lots of people have lots of varying opinions about things. And before the top 10, let's do some honorable mentions. I think I have five of those. Totally Killer. This is kind of Back to the Future with a horror slant. It was a lot of fun. It stars Kiernan Shipka, who was Sabrina in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. She travels back to the 1980s to combat someone named the Sweet 16 Killer. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of 80s references, so I enjoyed it. Here's one that's not on many people's lists, Cocaine Bear. Well, it's on some people's list as the worst movie of the year, but I know it's stupid, I know it's a one-trick pony, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And it also helps that some of my favorite actors from The Americans, the TV series, were in the movie, including Keri Russell, and her hubby made a quick appearance, Matthew Reyes, and also Margot Martindale from The Americans. So I enjoyed it. Also, another movie that's not on people's list, I'm not hearing a lot about it, is Suitable Flesh. This is in the spirit of Reanimator. It's based on a Lovecraft short story starring Barbara Crampton. I like to watch everything that she does. I'm so happy that she's back making movies. And Heather Graham, who I think may have a pact with the devil because she never gets any older. So I enjoyed it. Thought it had some good twists. So if you liked Reanimator, check it out. Also, the award for the best movie title in 2023 goes to Satanic Hispanics. This is an anthology, so it has four stories and a wraparound story. My only criticism of this is the tone. There were two more horror-focused stories and two comedies, which I really enjoyed the comedies a lot, but because of how the order they were in, that kind of changed the pace of it. I think if they had been reordered, it would have been better. And also, one good thing about this is the wraparound story. Sometimes the wraparound stories in anthologies is not good, and that kind of brings the whole thing down, but the wraparound story was excellent in this one. I would like to see more of that story. So definitely check that out. And, of course, a good thing about anthologies is if you don't like one of the movies, you don't have to wait 2 hours or 3 hours for another movie because they're so short. And let's see, lastly, well, two more. Renfield. I know Renfield not gotten a lot of love this year, but I really enjoyed it. It had Nicolas Cage. It obviously focuses on Renfield, who is his, I don't know what you call him, familiar, assistant, whatever, in the Dracula story. But he is, the gist of it is he's a codependent relationship with Dracula and is trying to get away from them. My only criticism was Nicolas Cage was really good in this. The action was great. The costumes were great. I thought the actors were great. The story at the end, I wish the plot had been changed a little bit. Got kind of stupid at the end, in my opinion. So it could have used a rework there. But other than that, I thought it was a lot of fun. And lastly, Slaughterhouse. Because I've been waiting for a long time for a movie about a sloth killing people. So I thought that was a lot of fun. So check that one out. And now to my top 10. Number 10, El Conde, The Count. As we already said, this is from Chile. And it's one of those that I didn't like the first time and watched it again and it grew on me. It's in black and white. And it's supposed to be about the Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet, who was a really bad guy in real life. Unfortunately, I don't know much about Chilean politics, so I would not have gotten that. This movie was based on that, unless I read it. But here he is a 250-year-old vampire who's gotten tired of living, and he has sequestered himself in an isolated farmhouse way out in the wilderness with his wife and his trusty butler. And his grown children come to visit, and a nun from the Vatican is sent to do something. I don't know. But anyway, the visuals in this film are some of the best of the year. So you've probably seen some of them already, but definitely check it out and see what you think. So that was number 10. Number 9 is Cobweb, and it's about a little boy who hears something in the walls of his house. Besides the little boy, it also stars Lizzie Kaplan and Anthony Starr from The Boys on Amazon as his parents. Had lots of creepy atmosphere. You weren't really sure where the story was going. I enjoyed it a lot. The only suggestion I would have is I would have liked to have seen a lot more of the creepy parents, because they were definitely creepy. And of course, Lizzie Kaplan is very good in everything she does. Number 8 is Infinity Pool from Brandon Cronenberg. So you know, if his name is on it, it's going to be weird. It stars Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth. And basic premise is a couple goes on a vacation to a fictitious country. And eventually all hell breaks loose. I'm not going to give you the specifics, so you can watch it for yourself, but it's a very interesting idea. So check it out, see what you think. Number 7, most people are not talking about this movie, is The Offering. And this is based on Jewish folklore, which talks about a demon. In Jewish folklore, you remember, I don't know if it's last year or year before last, we also had The Vigil. But the basic premise of this is a guy who has left his Hasidic community, goes back with his pregnant wife to visit his father, who also owns a funeral home and lives above the funeral home. So I like these kind of stories and learning about other things from mythology or folklore that I didn't know about. So I thought that was a very well done movie. Number 6 is Birth Rebirth. As I said before, it's retelling of the Frankenstein story. And basically, it's a two-person show. There are other characters in some scenes, but most of the movie is carried by Judy Reyes and Maren Ireland. And I think they do an excellent job here. And it really has a good story and shows how far a mother will go to save her child. So definitely recommend that one. Number 5 is Megan. Yep, already mentioned her. Crazy killer doll. She also has a dance craze. Megan 2.0 is coming at some point. One thing I liked about this movie is that it really started the action quickly. I get very bored very easily these days, so I need something that does quick character development and then just goes to the action. And this movie did that, so that's why I liked it. So yay, Megan. Be interested to see what the second one looks like. Number 4 is No One Will Save You. This is another movie where I watched initially, and I was like, the beginning of it, and I was like, I don't know. Then went back and watched it, and I really liked it. We talked about Birth Rebirth being a two-person show. This is really a one-person show. So Caitlin Dever pretty much carries the entire movie by herself. There is very little dialogue in this movie. So, you know from the movie poster, it's about aliens, and I really like the alien design. So check it out if you like alien movies. I enjoyed it. You might be confused by the ending and have to read about it, but give it a chance for sure. Number 3, Evil Dead Rise. This has everything you want in an Evil Dead movie, so it has lots of gore and scary deadites. The action this time moves from an isolated cabin, which is where most Evil Dead movies start, to an isolated apartment building. And I'm not sure in the plot why they can't leave the apartment building, but for some reason they're stuck there. The story revolves around a woman with 3 teenage children and her estranged sister who comes to visit. Alyssa Sutherland plays the mother, and she does an excellent job here. She's great. And also, we have Alyssa Sutherland. And Oh, yeah, the practical effects. So there's a ton of great practical effects in this movie. And if you ever listen to anything else I've ever done, I really much prefer practical effects over CGI. So they're really, really great in this. And as I said, tons and tons of blood and guts. Also, Bruce Campbell, who of course played Ash and the rest of the franchise, you will hear his voice when they find the book, the Necronomicon, in the basement and they start to open it. They play a record, and that's Bruce Campbell's voice on the record. Number two, my second favorite movie of the year was Talk to Me from Australia. So this is about possession as a teenage party trick. So the idea is that some of these kids ended up with a dismembered hand, and you have to shake the hand and say, "Talk to me," and a spirit possesses that person's body for a short period of time, and then they have to get them out. So I can see this actually happening with stupid kids that would do this and then take videos on their cell phone and not really be aware of the danger they were in when doing this. So, very creative idea and also a really good story. So, it's not just about, demon possession, it's also about death and loss and all of that. So, definitely check that out. And my number one favorite movie of 2023 is When Evil Lurks from Argentina. Another possession movie, surprisingly, since I've said I don't really like possession movies, and my top three movies are possession movies. So, anyhow, I think I typically don't like them, but if it's done well, I'm all for it. So, When Evil Lurks, the reason I like this is because it occurs in a different universe where everybody knows about demon possession, and there are certain rules you're supposed to follow in order, not for the possession to spread. So, things like, I think stay away from electrical devices, stay away from children and animals. I think there's like seven rules or something. But the characters, main characters in this movie, the brothers, come across this possessed person who's really gross and disgusting. And instead of following the rules of possession, they dispose of his body in a way they shouldn't, and then all hell breaks loose. So, this is another movie where you've probably seen the poster and a number has some really, really good visuals in this movie, and it's pretty freaky. So that's my top movie of the year, When Evil Lurks. So just to recap, we have number one, When Evil Lurks. Number two, Talk to Me. Number three, Evil Dead Rise. Number four, No One Will Save You. Number five, Megan. Number six, Birth Rebirth. Number seven, The Offering. Number eight, Infinity Pool. Number nine, Cobweb. Number 10, El Conde, The Count. And honorable mentions, Totally Killer, Cocaine Bear, Suitable Flesh, Satanic Hispanics, Renfield, and Slaughterhouse. So that's it for mine. Let me know your picks, where you are similar or where you differ in the comments, or if there's movies that I completely missed, let me know. And where can you find us? We're on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher. Please give us a 5-star rating if you like what you're hearing. We need all the help we can get. We're also at Twitter at Food and Fright. Or check us out by email. Contact us by email at foodandfright@gmail.com or visit our website at foodandfrighteningfilmfanatics.podbean.com. So that's it till next time. Stay warm. It's very chilly and snowy here, and we'll talk to you next time.